Open our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. As we look today at verses 26 through the end of the chapter and looking at a season of change, and notice here in verse 26 of chapter 8, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us new seasons of change. And God, even as we look today at your word and we see you putting Philip in a very unexpected and radical season of change, we see, Lord, from the word that your hand was in it the entire time. And God, maybe there's some here right now that are going through a radical season of change, or maybe there's a radical season of change about to happen in their life, and Lord, they're not even aware of it yet. But God, you're aware of it. You know it's coming, and Lord, you've prepared. You've gone before, and you've made a way. And so I pray that as we see this, Lord, we would see that this is one of the things that you do in our lives as believers, is you bring us to places of change and places of newness and different seasons. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us not to be afraid of it, but to trust you in the midst of it, Lord, and continue to follow you. For you say that our days are ordained from the foundation of the earth, which means, Lord, you're in control of them all, and you will be faithful to complete what you've begun. So Lord, pour out your spirit and teach us your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a season of change. You know, yesterday was the first day of fall, and it felt like it, didn't it? Did anybody notice that? I was giving somebody a ride somewhere yesterday, and we got up to get something to eat, and I just got to say, man, it feels like fall today. The wind was blowing. The leaves are starting to kind of lift a little bit, you know, and come from the trees. There was this coolness to the air. I said, man, it feels like fall. It wasn't until later I heard on the radio that yesterday was really the first day of fall. Did you know that? The first day of fall, and it was amazing to me. I thought, God, you have designed this earth so amazingly that on the very first day, I mean, of fall, I felt it. I knew it, and I knew that a change was about to happen. You see, God does the same thing in our lives in the spirit. God will begin to warn us in advance that a change is coming, and then God will bring a change. Now, God doesn't always do that. Sometimes there's a surprise. Sometimes God just, boom, and you know, there's a big change. But a lot of times, God gives us this warning, and then when the season comes, you know, although it may be a hard season, we recognize it, and we say, God, I know that your hand's in this, and I see you involved in it. And that's exactly what we're going to see today with Philip. Philip had a seasonal change in his life, and again, it's because Philip was a man who listened to the Lord and a man who was seeking the Lord. And guys, if we're going to hear of the season changes coming, we've got to learn to listen. We've got to learn to be in tune with the Spirit. I read one man who said it this way. He said, in the middle of an argument, my mother would say something like this. Well, maybe if you listened for a change, you would understand what I'm trying to tell you. How many people heard their mom say that? How many husbands have heard their wife say that? Okay, let's move on quickly. So often I'm not so much listening, but simply waiting for the other person to finish so I can get across my point of view, he said. Not really a very teachable position to be in. In Matthew 13, Jesus says, listen, with even greater authority than my mother. And that's saying something. He addresses this problem of how different people are responding to him. I can get caught up in all the arguments, but the real issue is to do with listening. Maybe if I listened. He is obviously about to mention something important, but as I read, it doesn't seem all that significant. Just a simple story. The question is, am I going to miss what he is trying to tell me because of my preconceived ideas about him or my own points of view? Guys, if we're going to follow the Lord, you've got to lay down your preconceived notions. You've got to lay down your own point of view. You've got to say, you know, to say, I think it's going to go this way. We can't say that. God will send it the way he wants, and sometimes it goes in exactly the opposite direction of what we're thinking, and this is exactly what God's going to do with Philip. Now, why do I say this? The last time we saw Philip a couple of weeks ago, he was up in Samaria, and there was a great outpouring of the Spirit. Imagine a great evangelistic crusade. Philip is in that region. He's preaching the gospel in the streets. He's preaching the gospel everywhere. Large crowds are gathering. People are giving their life to the Lord. God is moving in power. If you were Philip, you would think this is the last time that God would ever pick me up and move me to somewhere new. Right now, God is doing a work. God is doing something special. God would never ask me to go. That is not true. We don't know what God's going to ask us to do. And sometimes, even in the midst of what seems to be a great work of the Lord, God will say, enough, I'm sending you down there, be ready to go. We've got to be ready. And we've got to be listening to the Lord so we can follow that. you know, again, Philip was listening. Philip was ready. And as we get in the passage, we're going to see that I think Philip needed a little bit more help than just the prodding of the Holy Spirit. But still, when he heard the voice of the Lord, he went. And I think the reason he needed a little bit more prodding than just the Holy Spirit was how radical this was. I mean, again, imagine you're the one doing that. God's using you to lead these, you know, these evangelistic crusades where people are getting saved and they're still coming. And now God says, now leave. I don't know about you, but the first thing I would think, that's the enemy. The enemy's wanting me to leave because God's doing such a great work. No, it was God, because God had a greater work than just the region of the Samaritans that he wanted Philip to do. Although it made no sense at all, that is, on the surface, it didn't seem like anything God was doing. The bottom line is God was doing it. It's often not till much later that we even know what God is doing. What does the Bible say? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust the Lord. And that's kind of the shortened version of it, but that's the gist of it. This is what Philip has to learn, and this is what we have to learn. Let's jump into it. Notice in verse 26, it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now notice here it says, an angel of the Lord. God sent an angel from heaven to come and tell Philip this message. Now it doesn't tell us whether it was in person, whether the angel took on human form, or whether or not it was just a voice that he heard, or what form this angel took. But it's interesting to me that he sends an angel to do this rather than just the prodding of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that interesting to me? Because this is something that Philip would never expect to hear. And oftentimes when God is going to do something in our life that we never expect to hear, he does it with a louder voice than normal, a voice that we'll listen to. Because if we're in the midst of something that seems like God is moving and the Spirit begins to gently prompt us, okay, it's time for you to move on, we're probably going to say, that's not God. So God takes greater action here and literally sends this angel who's going to go against logic to speak to Philip, which is kind of neat because, again, that shows us that God still uses angels to speak to believers, even in the New Testament period. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be careful to entertain strangers and be kind to them. Why? Because you may be entertaining angels. I remember one time I was looking for this place, and it was a ministry thing I had to go to, and I couldn't find it, and I was lost, and I was in the wrong area of town, and I was like, where in the world is this thing? I've got to get there, and I've got to be on time. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up out of the blue and goes, hey, are you looking for a boom, 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 boom mission thing? I forget the name of it. And I was kind of shocked, because there was nobody there but me and him, and I was lost in the middle of nowhere. And I said, yes. He goes, well, it's down the street, you know, a few buildings down the road. It wasn't like we were right next to it, and he had just come out. You follow me? So he pointed me out to get there, and I said, thank you. And I turned to head down that way and looked back, and he was gone. Now, I don't want to get too nanu-nanu with this, all right? He may have simply walked around the corner and been gone, you know, and he's just whatever. But you know what? It may have been that God literally sent me an angel to get me to a meeting. I don't know if God did that, but guys, we need to be careful because you never know who it is you're dealing with. And wouldn't it be a bummer to get to heaven and see some guy who's really huge with wings and go, not you, you know? I am so sorry. You see, here's what happened. I was in a hurry. I needed this. Never mind. Okay. All right. Just don't punch me, right? Whatever. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but guys, we need to realize that God uses angels, and God used an angel right here with Philip because God was about to send Philip into a place that he never would have thought God was calling him to go to. It's interesting. The word desert here, it means solitary, lonely, desolate, and uninhabited. And now God is calling Philip to leave a place of excitement, ministry, fun, energy, all this happening to a place that is solitary, lonely, desolate, and uninhabited. You ever been there? Okay, sometimes it's God. Sometimes the Lord sends us into these places. Why? Because God wants to do a deep work that can't be done any way else. There are certain things in life that you can't do unless you simply do them. And God has to say, all right, if I'm going to do this in your life, Mark, if I'm going to do this in your life, Ed or Steve or Joe or Susie or Phyllis or whoever, if I'm going to do this in your life, I've got to put you right here where it can get done. Otherwise, it won't. You're praying for it. I'm going to answer that prayer, but this is going to send you to a solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited place. And when you get there, you're going to doubt and question and cry out to me, and I'm going to be faithful to you. Is that amazing or what? Now, we don't see Philip go through all this solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited. Actually, we're going to see it gets very exciting. So the exact literal meaning of this does not apply here, but there is an application that does apply to us. We can't judge what God is going to do by where God sends us. We simply have to trust. And this is probably why God sent an angel rather than the Holy Spirit. Again, because this would be such a strange thing for Philip to hear. That can't be the Lord's Spirit. You ever had God prompt you on something and not realize till later it was God because you thought, that just can't be God? That happens all the time. I'm like, that can't be the Lord. So I don't do it. And then later on I find out that was God. And so we need to learn to hear his voice. And so by sending Philip to the desert, this desert place, God was leading him to one of the most influential people in all of Ethiopia. See, although God was yanking him out of this seemingly great work, which by the way, it was a great work, and throwing him out into the middle of the desert to minister to one guy, that one guy is going to change the face of Ethiopia. It was shortly after this passage that the gospel spread in Ethiopia. And most scholars believe it was from this Ethiopian eunuch. As he heard the gospel, as he gave his life to the Lord, he went down to Ethiopia and he's a man of great influence and authority. We're going to see in just a moment. And God used him to do great things. Now, this is again where you might think, man, I only share with one person. I have this small ministry. I have this little opportunity. How could God really use it? Guys, God used this one person to change the nation of Ethiopia. Although there was a great ministry going on in Samaria, and God may send you to some area, and there's a great ministry going on, and you're doing a work in that area. And then God says, now I want you to move here. But you're like, Lord, that was a much more exciting thing. There was more happening. He says, trust me. I'm going to do a work. And that's exactly what he did through Philip in this man who had great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. Because in this position, this man would have, his sole impact would infect the entire nation and not just a region. And so never think that if God sends you somewhere that it's not God doing it. Well, you think maybe it's worthless, maybe it's like a desert, maybe whatever. God may use it to change a nation. God may use it to change a city. God may use it to change one person that will later on change the world. Think about the person who shared the gospel with Billy Graham. That one salvation moment spread the gospel around the globe. Is that amazing? So don't ever think your ministry is small. Be faithful to it. So he goes down there. Notice he tells him to go. The angel of the Lord said, go. This is desert. And I love this. Notice verse 27. So he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. This guy's in charge of the entire financial pocketbook of the queen of Ethiopia. You think he's influential? You better believe it. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Again, notice, although it made no logical sense, I love what it says here at the first of verse 27. So he arose and went. Sometimes God asks us to do things that make no logical sense. The question is, are we going to arise and go? Do we still obey even when we feel like it doesn't make sense? That is true obedience. It wasn't just that God took Philip from this great work he was doing in Samaria down so that he could reach the nation of Ethiopia, which would have been a good enough reason. But you know what? It was also because of this man's heart as well. We're going to see about this Ethiopian man. He had a heart for God. We're going to see that he was seeking God, that he was crying out to God, that he wanted God, and he wanted the answer with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And guys, if you are a person who wants God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you want answers from the Lord the same, God's going to send somebody to you. His Holy Spirit's going to come. God's going to send people to you. God may even send an angel like he did here. But the bottom line is, if your heart is in the right place, God will move heaven and earth to reach you. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You know, diligently seek the Lord. God will answer, the Bible says. But how do we know that this eunuch's heart was so good? This is amazing. Think about this for a moment. Well, first of all, you need some background. If you were to go to the temple in Jerusalem as a eunuch, you were not allowed to go into the tabernacle part and worship. You couldn't go in and hear the word of God with everyone else in church. Imagine it this way. You would not be able to come into here to listen to the Bible study. You'd have to wait out there in the hall. And they had an area outside of the main teaching area, like that hall out there, and they called it the place for the God-fearers. And the God-fearers were people who were not really Jews. They didn't want to be circumcised. They didn't want to follow all the traditions of the Jews, but they had a heart for God and they wanted to hear God's word. The eunuchs would have to stay out there as well. If you were a eunuch, you were not allowed in the sanctuary. And so what's amazing to me about this eunuch is that not only was he not allowed to go to the sanctuary, but he still went to church. It would be like somebody here today saying, I'm never allowed to go in the sanctuary, but I want to hear the word of God so much I'm coming every week, and I'm going to sit out there in the hallway next to the door just so I can hear the word of God. That shows a desire to hear the word of God. But the second thing to me that blows me away about this eunuch is, he came all the way from Ethiopia to sit in the hall. Think about that for a moment. He didn't have a nice car all made of metal and iron and wheels and an engine and driving up. He came from Ethiopia knowing when I get there, I will not be able to go in. I will have to stand in the outer area just to hear the word of God. I'm still going. I'm going to take this chariot that has wooden wheels with bumpy roads and travel for weeks or however long it takes because I want to seek the Lord. Is that a heart after God or what? How many of us complain because, well, the drive is so far across town? Think about it. This is a heart after God. And so he loved the Lord. God says, that's a heart that I'm going to love. I'm going after him. And God goes after him and brings him the good news and forgiveness through the Lord. And now he's going to take it down to Ethiopia. Notice also it says he was under Candace the queen. Candace was probably not her name, as Candace was a title of the Ethiopian queens. It was kind of like Pharaoh. Pharaoh so-and-so, or President so-and-so. It would be Candace so-and-so. She was the queen of Ethiopia, and so probably not her name, but again, showing the position that she had and the relation that this Ethiopian had to her. So a very powerful, influential man. He has the ear of the queen. He's got the finances of the queen at his hands. God is now sending him a messenger. He's got a heart for God, and God is going to use it to change the entire nation of Ethiopia. So I love it. And notice he was returning. Verse 28, it says, as he was sitting in the chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So he's reading the word. He's seeking the Lord. And notice, and then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Now, I find it interesting. First, notice an angel had to talk to him. Again, I think probably to help get his attention because of this radical thing God was asking him to do. But now we see the Spirit is able to guide Philip as well. And guys, again, God will often do that. Once he gets our attention by some loud way, we begin to listen to the quiet ways of the Spirit. And we begin to hear that still small voice of the Lord as he leads us. And now Philip is in that place where he hears the Spirit of the Lord. He hears the Lord leading him in that way. And he's following the Spirit of the Lord. So he tells him to run and catch the chariot. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And again, we've seen God do this in the past where he gets our attention or gets someone's attention in a louder way and then a softer way. He did it with Peter. Remember Peter? And you know, the Jews weren't allowed to go in and eat with Gentiles. You couldn't do that. But God was calling Peter and the others to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so what does he do? He meets Peter right where he is. Peter, he loves to eat. Big fisherman, you know, burly guy. He's up there. He's hungry. God gives him a vision of food. Don't you love that? I love it. And it comes down. He says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He goes, oh, I can't. These are unclean animals. I've never eaten them. Three times it happens. And the Lord says, Peter, what God has called clean, you shall not call unclean. And he shows Peter that he's talking about the Gentiles. In other words, it took a vision for Peter to do something that went against his normal mindset and his culture to follow the Lord. And here it took an angel to do the same thing with Philip. So again, God is more than able to get our attention, and God is faithful to do it. But he's got Philip's attention. Philip is now catching up with the chariot. And notice what happens here. He caught up with him in the chariot, and Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? I love this. Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now, guys, why do I love this? Because notice this, even as this Ethiopian eunuch did not understand the Bible without someone to explain it to him, there are many around us today who are in the same boat. And we better be ready with answers so we can lead them to Jesus Christ. Guys, our nation used to be a nation that was very literate in the Word of God. Did you know the very first textbook that we had in America was only the Bible? Did you know that? The only textbook Americans had when our nation was founded was a Bible. They taught math from the Bible. They taught English from the Bible. They taught reading from the Bible. They taught history from the Bible. They taught everything from the Bible. And as the nation grew, they began to add other books in there, but they were all based on the foundation of the Bible. Even the books had all these Bible verses and stuff in them. How literate do you think our nation was at its founding in the Bible? Extremely. How literate do you think our nation is today in the Bible? Very illiterate. Guys, we live in a society today where people don't know the Bible. Listen, you watch this program, the Bible, there's a new Bible game on. I can't remember the name of it. Some of you guys are probably seeing it, you know. There's some new Bible game on, and some of the questions they ask, it's amazing. You know, who was the person that the great fish swallowed? It wasn't Bubba. Who was it? Who was it? That was a largemouth bass, though. Now, I'm being silly. But they really didn't know right off the bat. That's amazing to me. I'm like, even just basic church stories in Bible school. Guys, we need to be like Philip. We need to be ready. When someone says, I need to understand and share it with you, we need to know the Bible good enough so we can share it with them. And now Philip is ready. So he sits down with him and notice this. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. This is the exact scripture in Isaiah that talks about Jesus going to the crucifixion, being led as a lamb, not saying anything, them taking him and slaughtering him, him dying in this humiliation for us, for our sins. What a great verse, and what a coincidence that the Ethiopian eunuch was right there. I'm joking. No such thing as a coincidence when it comes to the Word of God. And so this was one that he could grab and run with really easy. But guys, note this. This is exactly what he needed to know the gospel from. But also the point that I want to bring up is notice verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip, said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, note that. If you're an underline of the word, this is good. Beginning at this scripture, he preached to him Jesus. Why is this important? Because we need to know the Bible so well, Old and New Testament, that no matter where someone is and no matter what question they have, we can preach Jesus from there. Are you guys with me? Now, it's interesting. You know, you think, well, you know, is Jesus in all of the Bible? Yes. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 47, Jesus, speaking through the psalmist, said this, Behold, I come. He was talking about his coming to the earth. And in the volume of the book, it is written of me. What that means is in the entirety. What he's saying is in the entirety of the Bible, it is written about me, Old and New Testament. We have to know the Bible, Old and New Testament, good enough. So when we run across the Ethiopian eunuchs who say, what does this mean? We can say, this is that. What the prophet spoke about, speaking of Jesus Christ and how he died for you on the cross. And we should be able to take that and start talking and from there work our way to the cross. That's what Philip was doing. I love it. And so he was able to do that. He's a man who knew the Word of God. And we've got to be men and women who know the Word of God so we can do that. And notice this. He said, so as they went down the road, they came to some water. So he gives him the gospel. He tells him how he needs to be saved. He gives his life to the Lord. All this happens. Tells him about baptism. We're going to see the whole thing. So as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? In other words, he told him not only about salvation, but being baptized. Hey, here's water. Can I get baptized? Let's do this thing. And I love it. What hinders me? I love his heart and his enthusiasm. He's ready to go and to make that testimony a witness to the Lord. And then Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Guys, note that. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, why do I point this out if you believe with all your heart? I've got this underlined as well. Because, guys, that's what it takes to do true baptism before God. You see, baptism is not a religious ritual. Baptism is not something you send your child through as a baby just to be religious because your denomination does it. Now, a lot of you guys were probably, you know, as a baby baptized. A lot of you guys maybe even had your children baptized because your denomination did that. But, guys, note this. That is not a baptism that pleases the Lord. It's not wrong. You're not sinning. But it's not true baptism. Why? Because the Bible teaches that true baptism has to come from where? The heart. Does a baby even understand what they're doing yet? No. But the bottom line is, guys, is it has to be something we know. Listen, if you were baptized as a baby and you've ever been baptized again, you need to be baptized. Now, is it going to keep you from heaven? I don't believe so. I don't see in Scripture that baptism is a requirement for heaven. I see baptism as a requirement for obedience. Are you with me? Obedience, yes. For heaven, I don't see that, although some differ on that. I don't see that in Scripture. But the bottom line is, don't we want to be obedient in every area? And so if we've been baptized as a baby, I say, you know what? It's time to get baptized again and do this thing the right way. And this time I'm going to do it from my heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's all you need. Look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. What a beautiful thing, leading him to the Lord and baptizing him right after. Now, that's when it's cool. That's really neat. And notice that when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, this is a very interesting verse because it says here that the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The language indicates very strongly that this was some type of supernatural removal of Philip from that place to somewhere else. And notice, look at what it says in verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, which is Ashdod, was a Philistine area early on in Israel's history. Philip was found in a whole new place called Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea. So it would appear what happens here, guys, is almost like a mini rapture. It appears from the language, and many scholars believe that. I do, because of the language, that God literally just grabbed Philip, picked him up, and moved him over to Azotus, set him down. And can you imagine, you know, the look on the Ethiopian eunuch's face? I don't know if he saw it. I don't know if he turned away, you know, like the guy that I saw at the building and looked back and he was gone. But I'm sure he just went right on down rejoicing down toward Ethiopia and praising God and all the things that had happened. All of a sudden, Philip finds himself like, wow, where am I now? And he's in the middle of this town. He goes, well, I don't know where I am, but let's preach Jesus. Don't you love that heart? And it says he started preaching Jesus all the way back up to the city. He starts working his way back home preaching the Lord. And again, why would God supernaturally move Philip down to Azotus to begin to preach the gospel? Because if he hadn't, he probably would have started from there and gone back up to Caesarea. But God said, no, Philip, I'm going to send you on down there. Here's my point. God can get us where he wants, naturally or supernaturally, can't he? And that's exactly what God was doing right here with Philip. And Philip was obedient. And Philip was preaching the gospel. And what an exciting story. It's neat to see all the supernatural things that happened to Philip and in Philip's life. And just an amazing story. So guys, where does this leave us today? Listen, if you belong to the Lord and you're seeking him, he is controlling where you are. Your job is simply to obey and do your best to be content through prayer and through seeking the Lord. God, even if it's a desert place God has sent you to, or whether it's an exciting Samaria revival, or whatever the case might be, we've got to trust that God is in control. Again, as I said earlier, God, the Bible says, has ordained our days and fashioned them. And so we have to trust that even as God gives us the good, he gives us the bad. And even as God sends us to this place, God sends us to another. And we trust the Lord in that. If he decides to move us to a new season or to something new, again, by natural or supernatural means, that is his prerogative. Our job is simply to seek him, obey him, and yield to him. Guys, that's what we should want. Let's pray for God to do that. Let's pray. Father, we just pray this morning that you would do that in us. Lord, we want to just say we are yours and we belong to you. We're not our own. You can do anything in us you want. You can lead us anywhere you want. You have full right and full authority, God, to take us wherever you want, be it naturally or supernaturally. Because God, we give ourselves to you. You gave yourself for us and now we give ourselves to you. And Lord, you do take us to new seasons of change. And Lord, there may be some this morning right now that are just starting a new season of change. And maybe even it's a little scary. Maybe it seems like it's a little bit deserted. Maybe it seems, I don't know what it seems. Help them to trust in you and to rest in you, Lord, that they're right on target doing what it is that you planned for them to do the entire time. As long as we're seeking your face, God, we know that. And God, maybe there are some here this morning, they're about to go into a brand new season of change. And Lord, maybe they didn't see it coming. Maybe you warned them and they did see it coming. But either way, God, prepare the heart. Let us not be afraid of change and seasonal changes in the believer's life. Lord, even as yesterday brought in the fresh wind of fall, let us not be afraid when the wind blows. Let us not be afraid when leaves let go and say goodbye to what they've been holding on to for so long. Lord, let us not be afraid to see a new light over the cloud, bringing something on the horizon we never dreamed or imagined. But let us trust that even as you brought us into the season of spring and summer, you're the same God who brings us into the seasons of fall and winter. And you're just as faithful. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And Lord, I just look forward to the new season you're bringing us into here at Calvary Chapel. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Let us not fear, but to move forward in boldness, knowing that our commander and our God has gone before us, and we are simply following our Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.